Welcome back to Battle Plan, a podcast focused on spiritual warfare. If you would like to learn more about Active Faith, you can find us at active-faith.org. We are working weekly, daily, minute by minute to teach people around the globe how to expel evil, redeem the land, and heal the soul, all through the Word of God. I'm Dr. Charlie, and today I am recording this as a special edition to Battle Plan. It's Battle Plan for Broken Families. And I have a very special guest with me today. She is one of my best buddies. She's one of my prayer partners. That's don't turn it off. Like she's praying for me, okay? But I will tell you this: Joyce Whitson is one serious prayer warrior. She is a friend of friends, and she prays for me, and it helps me get through, and I love her for that. So, Joyce, thank you so much for being part of Battle Plan for Broken Families.
Thanks for having me today. I'm super excited to be here, and I'm excited to talk about the things that happened, but I'm really excited to give people tools that they need to try to get through what they're going through now, or something that they may have gone through in the past, and maybe what we have to offer them.
Yes. So thank you for saying that. So Battle Plan for Broken Families, if you've never tuned in before, is all about giving people who are entering into or who have been in a broken family situation tools to help them get through those situations. So the enemy is after our family's choice, and there are a lot of different ways that the enemy tries to tear families apart. And today I've asked Joyce to join me because Joyce has lived through and walked through one of those things that can really break a family, and that is the death of a child. And I can't even fathom, Joyce. I didn't know you then, but I can't fathom how you did that. But I know that so many people, more than we really want to talk about, are struggling with this kind of brokenness, broken hearts. It could be breaking up their homes. It could be breaking their lives to smithereens, like just blowing up their lives. And so I'm going to let you talk about that. You are a recording artist, you are a published author. She has a book called House of Mirrors: Finding What's Real in a World of Illusions. She is an entrepreneur. She is a teacher. She is a nana. She's a great nana. And so there, you have worn so many hats and worn them well. But let's talk about this one space in your life, this one time. Tell me about that.
Well, again, thanks for having me. I'm gonna put my glasses on because I wrote stuff down.
Okay.
It's not my best look, probably, but it works. So, that time in my life was it was a very difficult time, and I really felt like I was carrying the weight of the world just like all by myself. And I had
Can you
just
tell us the name of your child?
yeah, his name was Brian Michael Vaught.
Brian
And he
Michael.
was very sweet, and he had a real Southern twang. And so he would talk to me, and he'd say, "Mom," and I'd say, "What?" Because he was real slow when he talked, and he'd say, "Will you take me outside to play?" But he had a little spiked haircut, big old smile, and we always said that the smile in his eyes was the light in the window that told us he was home. And he would light up the room, and everybody that met him loved him, fell in love with him. He would just captivate people, with his heart. And the thing that I really loved about Brian Michael was that he took Jesus into every space he went to, whether it was the doctor's office, whether it was the grocery store picking out heads of lettuce. He would ask the lady standing next to me, we're both picking out heads of lettuce, and he'd say, "Do you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior?" Was like 3 years old, and I was like, "Oh my gosh," because I have a big mouth, I'm loud and long, and I talk a lot. But up until that point, until he came and started talking about Jesus, I was not a verbal talk about Jesus to everybody kind of person. So he really changed my life in that regard. But yeah. So anyway, super sweet. Talked to doctors who were Buddhist and other religions, and talked to them and told them the story of Jesus when we were in waiting for an appointment. Things like that. That's the kind of kid this was. Okay.
Wow.
So and he was just like seriously one of my best buddies. So
And can you tell me about what was his diagnosis choice?
yes. So he had an autosomal recessive, which means it came from both sides of the family. It's the combination, but it was a genetic disorder, and the name of it is called Leigh syndrome, Leigh syndrome. And it was considered, and still is probably considered, an orphan disease, which means less than 2,000 people across the world have it. So it took 3 years to diagnose. And he also had something called, no, I'll say this slow, but it was cytochrome C-oxidase deficiency. And that is a deficiency in the respiratory chain, which is ultimately what caused his death. He couldn't take any more breath. Okay. So that was a rough night. But he also had a lot of other things going on, like, he was hypoglycemic, he had seizures. Excuse me, coffee. There's just a lot of things that enveloped that. So that's why they call it syndrome, Leigh syndrome, because it's not specifically just a disease. It would affect people a little bit differently, across the board.
Okay. And how old was he when he was
So
diagnosed?
when he was diagnosed, he was 4, just turned 4. And they didn't really give us a lot. Like, they thought he might live another year, and he ended up living 3.5 more years. So that was by the grace of God, I know. Anyway, yeah. So he was just turned 4 when he was diagnosed, and then so it took like 3 years to diagnose this. And then I want to say something about that just very quickly. And that is, if you are going through something, if you're somebody that's going through something where you're having to, my dogs, I'm going to kill my dogs. I'm sorry. If you're having to go through something with your child, remember that you are your child's advocate. And so they are depending on you to keep fighting for them, to keep looking, to keep searching. So if something's going on and you don't know what's going on, these dogs. Can you hear those dogs? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. So anyway, if you have a child who's going through something, and just remember that you're their advocate, and that you need to keep fighting for them, because there's something out there that you have to get straight, and so you just need to keep going. So I apologize for that. But anyway, I just wanted to just encourage parents who
Yeah.
on that. Okay.
Thank you for that. So when you found out that and I know you have notes, but I also want you to speak from your heart. When you found out and you received this diagnosis, how did you handle that spiritually?
Well, I've always loved God, and I've always known God was watching out, for me. And I was saved at that point. And so I was more into the word than I had probably ever been in my whole life. And I just knew that God would take care of us. And I absolutely and firmly, until he took his last breath, believed God was going to heal him, and he would make it through. And so that's part of the backside of the story. But anyway, I just picked up the sword and ran with it, knowing that God was going to take care of us. And my husband kind of went into a black hole, so to speak, and just shut down. So, it was that
You
was.
handled it two very different ways.
Yeah, we did. And people do that. And, through the years, I've really got, in retrospect, thinking about all that, it's like everybody does handle grief differently,
Which
so.
means, Joyce, that you were fighting two battles. Okay.
At least two battles.
Yeah.
But.
Okay. Well, so as you walked through it, you said you picked up your sword. What did you use in the sword? What scriptures just carried you through?
Well, I think the one thing that I found along the way was the scripture that says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. You know, and so I knew that I had to get closer to God. I had to be like sitting on his doorstep and up in his lap halfway, you know. So I had to really get there. And then that was about the time I found, you know, where it talks about come boldly before the throne of grace that you may receive mercy in your time of need, you know. And then there was, you know, we are not of those who shrink back, that we have confidence, you know. And so there were just things that just kind of built me up and kept me going, you know. At that time too, there was you probably remember them, but Integrity Music, and they had these cassette tapes because that's what we did back then. And they on my age, but I owned every cassette tape they had, and it was basically, for those who don't know, it was the Word of God put to music, and it wasn't cheesy or anything. It was really good. And so I would play those tapes day and night, night and day, until I just really absorbed that word. And I would find myself waking up in the morning, hearing it like in my spirit, hearing this song or that song, you know, which were scriptures. So, you know, I just started building myself up in my most holy faith, you know, as they say. And every opportunity I had, I really felt like a sponge in those days, in more ways than one. I was doing that with the Word of God. I was doing that with trying to find out what was going on with Brian Michael in research. But boy, I looked to the Lord for everything, and always prayed for wisdom and knowledge and understanding, you know, for myself, but also for all the healthcare workers, the doctors, and so on that were going to have anything to do with us, like any kind of interaction. So.
Wow. Okay, so as you were saying that, I was hearing that scripture in my mind, hide the word of God in your heart so that you may not sin against him.
I wrote that down.
Oh,
Yeah,
did you?
I
Okay,
did.
yeah.
It's in my notes, but yeah,
That,
and I feel
so it
like,
sounds like that's what you were doing. So you were shifting the atmosphere in your home, shifting the
really.
atmosphere in Brian Michael's home. And at the same time, I love that you were praying for those who were caring for him. That's beautiful that you would pray for their wisdom, that you would pray for their knowledge and their understanding and discernment. That's so good. That's so key because
Well,
we get
and praying
so
that they,
inward focused. I would think I would get so inward focused that I would forget to do those things. I've not been in that situation, but I'm just
I don't think you would forget. I think it's easy to
well.
forget. I think it's easy to forget it. And I think it's, you know, sometimes we get to running on nothing but pure adrenaline, or, you know, or we're so
Yeah.
stressed out that we don't like come to ourselves, you know. It's like we don't take our thoughts captive at that time. We tend to let our thoughts take us captive. And so, you know, you have to really, it's an intentional thing. Like you can't just flutter in the wind, you know, and think that everything's just going to be okay. You got to get a hold of yourself, and you got to get grounded and get rooted. And you know, my ex-husband, he got mad at me because he wasn't really a Christian. And that's a whole nother story. But anyway, he would get mad at me because when I ended up finally staying home with Brian Michael, leaving my job that I had, and staying home with him to be with him, during the day, I would be in the Word. And I couldn't even believe this when this happened, but he literally clocked me at 40 hours a week in the Word of God. He said, "You read that Bible 8 hours a day, 5 days a week." And I said, "Wow, really?" He was mad that I was
Good
excited
job.
because I thought, wow, I didn't know I was doing it that much. But, you know, that was really a time for me where I really did build up my faith. I built up my knowledge of the Word of God. And so that's where you're hiding it in your heart. And you know, you read and you read and you read. And sometimes people read the Word and they think, I don't really get that, or I don't really understand that. Well, be patient with yourself and just ask God to reveal to you what it is He wants you to see and understand in whatever you're reading. And then just pray for God to bring it back to your remembrance at the time that you need it. And He absolutely will. I couldn't believe how powerful that was when somebody told me to just ask God to bring it to your remembrance what you need for when you need it, because you have the word in you. If you've been studying, Now, we don't do osmosis, like you can't just pick up the Bible and slap your head with it and everything just falls in there. Like you have to do the work. But once you do the work, God will bring it to your remembrance, what you need, when you need it, and in abundance. So yeah.
So, Joyce, I know now that you are familiar with declaring the word and turning the word in, into prayers that declare healing and that declare victory and things like that. Did you know that then? Is that something you learned in that
Yeah,
season?
I did learn it in that season. There was a time where I got Jermaine Copeland came out with Prayers That Avail Much right about that time. And she just put out little skinny books, little tiny ones on Prayers That Avail Much. And the thing I loved about that book was that you could basically, it was kind of like a God's Promises book, and where you just go in and look, if I'm depressed, I'm going to read this. If I'm going through this, I'm going to read that kind of thing. But the Prayers That Avail Much broke it down for prayers you needed for specific things. And it prayed absolutely the word of God. And I went in there and I literally searched the references to make sure I was actually praying what it said, because I didn't know yet. And I wanted to make sure that what I was doing was absolutely rock solid, the word of God. I wasn't speaking anything else out that wasn't the word of God. So I got a hold of those books, and those were a game changer in my life at that time. And so I was able to just, yeah, just I, in fact, when you said that about declaring God's word over situations, and this is going to sound kind of contradictory, maybe. I don't know. I'm not sure what word to use there just yet. But the night that he passed away, I was still declaring the word of God over him. He will
Yeah.
not die but live, and declare the works of the Lord unto righteousness, And it was a little bit of a journey to get from, why didn't you hear me, God, as I was declaring those words at the time of his death, to where I am now. And it's been a lot of years now, but probably within a few years after he passed, I started to understand a lot more things, and we may go into that, I don't know, but
Yeah, so can we?
sure.
So and just this week, I had someone ask me. They said I was praying for a miracle. It was someone who was going to go through an amputation, and they said I was praying for a miracle for this person, and it didn't happen.
Yeah, that's
And I
weird.
really believed it was going to happen. And
Yeah.
it sounds like that's the kind of mama you were, that you were
Was
stopping at nothing
at nothing.
except God's very best for your child. So what happens when we don't get the answer that we have sought?
Well, I think people need to give themselves grace, first of all, because that's just part of the process, but I
Yeah.
didn't give myself much grace. And I mean, even as much as 2 to 3 weeks after Brian Michael passed away, I was just losing it, to be quite honest and transparent. And I woke up
Thank
in the
you for
morning.
that, because there are other mothers, other parents out there who
Feel
are
like they're
going
going
through this, and
crazy.
they're listening, and they're like, I can't keep it together.
Yeah.
It's not in me.
And just so they know, all of you who are listening, it's okay to fall apart when you have to fall apart, because sometimes you have to do that to put yourself back together again, to pick up and move on. And so don't beat yourself up if you fall apart, just pick yourself back up. And I think that's really the key thing in all of this is, you're gonna fall apart. In life, we're gonna fall apart from time to time. There's no perfect Christian out there. And I don't care who you are, you've been through something. And so,
Even
being
Jesus wept.
that's right. That is right. It says so. But sure he did. And I think he weeps for us when we're down here going through the struggle, especially when he knows our heart and he knows how badly we want for something to happen, when we pray. And in The Chosen, there's a scene where he's talking to I can't remember the guy's name, but he was walking with a walking stick, and he's like talking to Jesus about why can you not heal me? I'm with you. He was one of his disciples.
Yes.
Like, why? I'm with you every day, you know, and you know I'm
Is
struggling.
it Barnabas?
Am I? No, maybe. I can't
Anyway.
remember his name. But anyway, yeah. You know, I really identified with him. You know, it's like, yeah, what's that all about? You know, why can't you heal? Why can't you heal me? Or why can't you heal my son? When we're going through this life or death thing, there's people that are having abortions and everything else. You know, I had all the reasons to fight back in my, you know, in my little pocket, you know, of reasons why I was angry or upset about why I felt like God wasn't listening
Oh, it
to
was little James.
little James. Okay. Yeah. So anyway, sweetheart of a guy, you know, struggled, hobbled along everywhere they went, you know, and Jesus came back and he was like, you can handle it, basically, I think is kind of what he was saying, you know, you're okay. I'm taking care of you, kind of thing, you know. And it's like, okay, well, that doesn't really help me right now, but you know, but there's so many things when you think about it, you know. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, you know. He did this, he did that. There's all these miracles. He healed the woman of the issue of blood for 12 years, all the things, you know. But here's the one thing that I had to get through my head, that really literally just took forever, it seemed like, is that, and it sounds so simple, but it's that God is sovereign. He is in control, whether you like it or not. And he says, you know, the final thing. But that doesn't mean we're supposed to just lay down and die and not, and just turn a blind eye to what Satan is trying to do in our lives. We are called to stand and fight. We are called to stand and declare. We are called to see it through to the very end, whatever that end is. And, you know, he did get healed. He's healed in heaven. And I know that. And God has confirmed that for me, you know, and that helped with my grief. And so, you know, Brian Michael always said, you know, when I get to heaven, I'm going to chase Jesus all over heaven, you know. And he said, and I'm going to find a big old tree and I'm going to swing from that tree like a monkey, mama, you know. And so I said, yep, you do it, buddy. But yeah, so I think,
Oh, what hard conversations to have with your child.
But he, you know, he was a strong boy. And he was, when I say strong boy, I mean, mentally, emotionally, spiritually on point. He would tell me things. I got to tell this story because it's so good. Okay.
Sure.
You got to remember that when God sends our children to us, we are really entertaining angels unaware, you know, and sometimes we really take so many moments for granted and you just can't. Okay. So at one point when he was here, I got voted to be on the governor's task force for healthcare reform in the state of Arkansas. And so at one of the meetings, for parents with special kids with disabilities, okay. And so but we had a meeting and they said, everybody bring your child with you. We're gonna all come together as a family, you know. And so it was just me and Brian Michael, and we went to this meeting and we stopped at a hotel in Conway, Arkansas. And we got a bottom floor room and everything. And he was in a wheelchair and all the things. Okay. So he was a handful. So trying to get baggage in, get him in, all that stuff. Okay. That I'm just trying to set it up for you. But
Yeah.
anyway, so we go into the room. Okay. And this is, I don't know if they still put Bibles, Gideon Bibles in all the hotel rooms anymore, but they did then. And so I put him in the room first. I put him on the bed. He had a tendency to want to leap off the bed and everything else. Nothing slowed him down. Okay. But anyway, I put him on the bed. And I said, you stay right there and don't you move. I have to get everything in the room. And so I'm bringing stuff in and out of the room, you know, and I look over there and he gets the Gideon Bible out of the drawer. So anyway, he's sitting there and he's looking through the Bible. He's just turning the pages, you know. And so I'm kind of watching him and I'm still bringing stuff in. I said, what are you doing, buddy? And he said, he was like, he would always go, like that, you know, like when you're talking to him, like he just stopped. And he said, He said, "Mama, will you read this to me?" And I said, "The whole thing?" And he goes, "Yeah." "Yeah." And I said, "Right now?" And he said, "Yeah." And I said, "Well, I'll tell you what, let's just test you a little bit. Let's just see what you know." And this was, I'll never forget this moment. Okay. But anyway, I said, "Do you know the 23rd Psalm?" And he said, "Uh-huh." Now he's 5 at this point, 5 years old. Okay. And I said, "Okay, well, let's see." I said, I'll read the first line and then you say the one after that. Okay. And he goes, "Okay." And I said, "The Lord is my shepherd." And he said, "I shall not want." And I went, "Okay." He couldn't read, you know? So I said, "He maketh me to lie down." And he said, "In green pastures. He leads me beside," and he goes, "the still waters. He restoreth my soul." Like he finished it all the way to the end.
Ah,
I was absolutely blown away. What
and how old was
five-year-old?
he?
Five. What five-year-old
Wow.
can do that? You
And he
know?
couldn't read.
Yeah. And I mean, we went to church and he had a great little Sunday school teacher, but I don't know that they memorized the 23rd Psalm, you know? Like, I don't know. But I really felt like at that moment that God had placed in my life a little angel, you know, that he was
Is
here
amazing.
for a reason and for a purpose. And when he would talk to people about Jesus, like, you know, I finally, what his life did for me was it really brought out the boldness of Jesus Christ, which has been like the driving force behind my ministry, you know.
Yes.
Not just Brian Michael, obviously, the driving force behind my ministry is Jesus, but you know, but to be able to talk
He was
about
the
it,
catalyst.
yes.
Wow. So, Joyce, I've worked and ministered to people who have lost loved ones, not just children, but loved ones, and they pray for healing and they pray for healing. But the ultimate healing is that they are healed through eternity. And we don't get to finish more time with them here on earth. And when you're in that moment and you're in the one who's on the losing end, it's very, very painful and very difficult. But I wonder, and I would love for you to answer this. I wonder if we sometimes forget that the reward, the goal, is heaven.
Well, funny you should say that. I wrote down to talk about this, but you know, I had so many questions and so I was so frustrated,
Yeah.
died, and I was just like racking my brain, you know. I was on a lot of medication because I was like so stressed. And but I remember just coming to a point where I was like, "God, I don't understand." Like, and I was really literally just crying out to God in my room, screaming at God. I'm like, "I had more faith than anybody I know, and you still took him. Why? I don't understand that. You told me to do this and you told me to do that. I did this, I did that. I did everything I knew to do and it still didn't work. What happened? What happened?" You know, like I was really losing it. And so I just was crying. I was in tears, you know. I just couldn't hardly contain him ever. But so I asked the pastor at the little church we were going to at the time, and I sent a letter to a ministry that I was supporting at the time, and I asked both the same question. I said, How can this be that when you pray for somebody so hard and you do not doubt in your mind, you're following the Bible, you know, it says in James, a man who is double-minded, you know, or who doesn't believe it, you know, whatever. It's like he's double-minded in all his ways. And so I was like, "I don't want to be double-minded. I don't want to do this. I want to make sure I'm doing everything just right and, you know, really trying to play it by the rules of the ball game." And I said, "But how is it that when you do that, when you pray with everything you have, until you're blue in the face and it doesn't work. What, why? Why is that?" And they both gave me the same answer and they did not know each other. Okay, so and what they said, and I believe this is probably true. If it's not, somebody will correct me along the way, I'm sure. But and they said, you can pray for somebody until you're blue in the face, okay? But ultimately, God honors the will of that person. Ultimately. And so, I got to thinking about that. And Brian Michael always talked about heaven, chasing Jesus all over. In the Bible, it says, in my house, there are many mansions. If it were not true, I would have told you, right? And so Brian Michael had his room picked out, and everything he wanted in it. And, I'm serious. Like I said, well, if you're going to get a room in heaven, a mansion, like what do you want in your house? And he said everything that he couldn't do. So he was like, I want a basketball, I want a hockey stick. I want, he wanted to run and play and do those kinds of things so badly, And so for him, that was what he wanted, That was what his will was. That's what he really, begged God for. And so honestly, sometimes when you're the parent and you are fighting and pushing so hard for them to live, you forget how tired they are and how much they go through, And it's not like I just ignored that. Like if he was tired, he rested, and I mean, if you're hungry, you feed them, that kind of thing. You sometimes just forget those things, and you're pushing so hard for the ultimate end goal here on earth that you forget about anything else. And so that answer that they both gave me really did give me a sense of peace, because thinking back about Brian Michael and how much he wanted to be in heaven and how tired he was and how his body was pretty much just give out. Sometimes you got to give the people grace that die.
Wow, that's really good.
Like it's really, I know this is really striking me on every nerve today, but and I figured it might at
Yeah, and
some
I think
point,
it's going
but
to strike the nerves with those that are listening because these are the hard conversations. This is not an easy topic.
no, it's not, but it's necessary. And and if I can help just one person to overcome and to get a hold of the truth and to know that God loves them and God sees them, I think that was a big thing too, that I didn't, sometimes I was like, do you not see me down here? Like I am struggling, Are you not my Father in heaven who loves me? Is this love? Like there's anger. There's a lot of angry moments, especially when you're doing everything you know to do and you can't find your way out. In the book that I wrote, House of Mirrors, Finding What's Real in a World of Illusions, this going through this whole thing with Brian Michael is like being in a house of mirrors. Like you, when you go into a house of mirrors, if you don't know the way, you will run into every single mirror, but the mirrors are the illusions. And so you got to find what's real. And the only thing that's real in a house of mirrors is the floor. And so I just
The
equate that to
foundation.
getting on the floor on your knees and finding the truth through Jesus Christ. And when you find the truth, you can walk your way out of that to the open door. And so I really found that to be so true in my life. Not just with everything going on with Brian Michael, but in every area of my life. You have to ask yourself, what's the truth here? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through
Except through
me.
me.
And you can't make your love for God conditional on whether he decides to heal your child or not. I was mad at God for like a year after Brian Michael died, and I wouldn't even talk to him. I didn't, nope, I'm done. I'm done. I was so mad at God. I really was. And I had a hard time
Thank you
coming
for being
back.
honest about that.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I really feel like it was valid that I was upset, and then I didn't have anything to say. I was just like, hey, I did everything I knew to do. You're God and you could have fixed it, but you didn't. And like I was really just real, about the whole thing with him. And I don't really remember how he wooed me back to him, but he did. He never leaves us hanging out to dry
Yeah,
forever.
he can handle it.
He can.
He
He
can
really
handle
can.
it. Yeah.
Yeah, and
Yeah.
he
'Cause
loved
there
us
have been a
enough.
lot of times when I was really mad at God and I just didn't hold back. It's just not in my nature.
Right. But he knows that about you, see, and he knew
Right. He
that about you
created me.
too.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, and he created us that way for a reason. So.
So I want to shift just a little bit in a slightly different direction because this whole time you had a second son.
I
You had
did.
another son.
I do.
You had Zach.
Yeah.
And Zach has grown up and he is a very successful businessman and he is in full-time ministry and he's a dad and a great husband. And so he is really great. To me, he's a young man.
He is a young man. He's a young
yeah.
man to me too.
Right. So, but how did you tackle the hard conversations with Zach? Now, was Zach older or younger?
He was younger. He was 2 years
Younger.
and 10 months younger, so about 3 years younger almost than Brian Michael. And they were the best of buddies. You know, they that was back in the years of Power Rangers and Ninja Turtles. And so, you know, I made the headbands and cut eyes out, and they were, you know, Raphael and Leonardo.
Right.
Whatever. So, you know, they did that and did little sword fights and, you know, hi-ya karate kicks and things like that. So, anyway, when Brian Michael died, it was a very, very hard time for him. And Brian's parents, Brian is my ex-husband, so Zach and Brian Michael's dad, his parents came over during all that time, and they kept Zach out of the room, which was really hard for Zach. And I didn't want that. I didn't want him to be out of the room. And so I had them bring him in to into the room to say goodbye to Brian Michael, you know. But Zach just cried and cried. We always took him to Chuck E. Cheese for their birthdays. And Zach's birthday was coming up. Brian Michael died on June 17th, and Zach's birthday was June 21st. So it was just days away. And we were supposed to go to Chuck E. Cheese for Zach's birthday. And so Zach, I remember, and this is so hard to even tell the story, but it's so sweet too. But anyway, he said, Mama, he said, we're supposed to go to Chuck E. Cheese for my birthday. And I said, well, Bubba's not going to be able to go, buddy. He's gonna be in heaven, you know. And he said, can't we just get a really big ladder and go get him?
Oh.
And I was like,
Oh.
oh my gosh.
Ah.
I said, no. I said, it doesn't work that way, buddy. You know? And so anyway, it was just that was so hard. And just the days ahead with that were very hard. But when this was in June when this happened. And so, you know, we were all dealing with everything, you know. And so, and I don't think that I neglected Zach and his feelings, but I don't think I thought about some things with him about exactly how to approach it.
Right.
So the school counselor, Mary Ellen Robbins was her name, and she sent home a book. I don't remember the name of the book, but basically it was about when leaves fall and die to the ground, right? And the process that goes through. Okay.
Right.
And so I didn't read the book before I read it to him, which was a big mistake. And
Okay.
so we got to the end of the book, and you know, Freddie, I think was the name of the leaf. Freddie fell to the ground, and somewhere in the book, I guess it actually kind of talked about, well, when you go to the ground, that's it, you know. I can't believe she gave me that book, and I can't believe I read it without, you know, before I read it to him.
Oh
But
gosh.
anyway, we both, as soon as Freddie hit the ground, we were laying down on the floor together in the days when I could do that.
Yeah.
And we were like looking at the book, you know, on the floor and reading it that way. And we both looked at each other and our eyes just got really big and we were both bawling. And he goes, Mama, Freddie died. Freddie died. And he goes, that's just like Bubba. Bubba died like that too, you know. And so anyway, I was like, oh my gosh. So anyway, we ended up in a full-on hug on the floor, just crying, you know, together. But what I realized was that Zach never really got to have closure in that whole thing. And so what I did for him was I took him over to the cemetery. By that time we had his headstone and everything up, And on his headstone, we had his little picture that was so sweet. And I was smiling, and we put on the headstone a smile from God, you know, around his picture. But anyway, so I said, Zach, I said, let's go over to the cemetery, okay? And I said, I'm gonna pull up by Bubba's headstone, and I'm gonna let you get out. You just leave the door open, and I want you to go say over Bubba's grave, I want you to tell him anything you want to say to him, okay? And so yeah. And he goes, okay. So the sweetest little 5-year-old you've ever seen gets out of the car, leaves the door open, you know. We're right there. He's right on the top of a hill. And right by the road. So anyway, he gets out, he goes over to the grave, and he's kicking the dirt around, you know, like 5-year-olds do. And he goes, hey, Bubba, hope you're doing okay. You know, and he said, I really miss you, and I'm sorry I didn't get to say goodbye, but I love you, and I know that you're having a good time in heaven, and I know you're chasing Jesus all over, you know, like he's just telling this little story to Brian Michael, and he's just crying and crying, you know, and he just stops for a little while, and he goes, well, that's all I wanted to say. He said, I hope you have a good day. I'm in the car just losing it, you know. I can hear it all. And anyway, so he comes and gets back in the car and closes the door and puts his seatbelt on. I said, you okay? And he goes, yeah, I am now. So I told that just to tell people out there that if you have other siblings, you know, if you have a child that passes away and you have other siblings, it's very a good thing. And that was a very good thing for Zach to be able to have closure about Brian Michael, about his brother, and to be able to say goodbye, you know. So that was very healing for him, I think, in a lot of ways. But
Well, I've never cried in a podcast. Thank you, Joyce.
you're welcome. I never thought I was going to sit here and cry like this. I mean, I got a snotty nose and the whole thing, but.
That's so beautiful, though. And thank you so much for your transparency, because I am confident that somebody needs to hear this. And even though that was, what, 30 years ago?
30 years, yeah, something
Yeah.
like that.
You
Yeah.
know, even with all the advancements we've had in medicine, sometimes that's just not the way God writes the story.
Yeah.
And I love that you have shared that. If you could encourage those who are sharing in this podcast, listening to it, whether it's soon or years from now, if you could encourage them in any way, what would you say to them?
I would say make God your number one. Make the word of God your number one. If you can't get into the word of God, but 10 minutes a day to start, then find a devotional. Jesus Calling is really good. You know,
Yeah, it
find
is.
a devotional that speaks to your heart, and then get one that has scripture references for every day, and then try to take the time to go in and read those specific scriptures, and then you'll see how it's incorporated in the Jesus Calling also. But the thing about all of this and about life in general is that, you know, your Bible can sit on your coffee table and gather dust all day long, but the book you don't read can't help you.
Oh, the
And
book you
so
don't read can't help you.
right.
That's
And
so
so
good.
God gave us that as a gift. It's our guide, it's our directions, it's our roadmap to getting back to Him. You know, basic instructions before leaving Earth, right? Is what they say the Bible stands for. But truly, you know, get into the Word. Like for me, I was able to find that Integrity Music, you know, and that was a game changer for me. Get into Christian only. Just get out of the world. Get into Christian worship music and get out of your own head and get into his word and settle yourself. Settle
Yeah.
yourself on the inside. Come to the core of who you are, and that has to be, God has to be centered in that. And everything else comes out of that, you know. And don't let your thoughts take you captive. Take captive your thoughts and put them into obedience to every word of God. So there was something else I was going to say on that end of some books that helped me, you
Oh,
know.
okay.
There
Yeah, that's
was
great. Share some of those resources.
Petitioning for the Impossible. And it's a book by Buddy Harrison, and it's published through Harrison House Publishing. You may be able to get a copy on Amazon. I don't know. They're running really low on them, and it's been a long time ago. But that book, along with Prayers That Avail Much, both of those things speak the word of God. They give you the power to declare the word of God into your life. And the petition is a basic petition, but you change the scriptures according to what you're petitioning God for, you know. And so you find the scriptures that relate to your situation, and you say, this is what I
Right.
am storming the gates of heaven for, basically, you know. And that was a game changer for me. So yeah, there was that one. And they're good on the end of this one. Hang on, I'm sorry, I have to go back here. But yeah, it was Prayers That Avail Much. It was Petitioning for the Impossible. Another book that cost me a quarter at a little Christian bookstore and was really good was called Prison to Praise. And that one teaches you how to learn how to praise God in all things. Now, that doesn't mean you praise God for your cancer. Okay, that's not what that means. You praise God in all circumstances, not necessarily for all circumstances.
Right.
You know, and so when you learn to, it's all about a mind shift. You have to shift your mind into thinking the way that God
Yeah.
is telling you
God
to.
doesn't bring cancer.
No,
Yeah.
that's a
You can't
direction.
thank him for something he didn't bring. But he
Exactly.
will give you the ways to walk out of it and
Absolutely.
walk through it. So that's what we thank him for. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, and he didn't bring Brian Michaels Lee's disease either. He didn't bring any of those. You know, those were just attacks from the enemy. We live in a fallen world, sin, disease,
Yeah.
and death. You know, they came in when in the fall of Adam. So,
Yeah.
you know, but you can't blame God for that.
I would love to add to your list, if that's okay, of books. I love Healing Scriptures by Kenneth Hagin.
Oh, Kenneth Hagin.
Oh my gosh, he's
Yeah.
just so if you're listening to this and you're going through something, that's just another resource that I would strongly recommend.
Yeah.
So
And I want to say something about when you are reading these books or these books, you know, if somebody gives you something to read, take the time to look at it long enough to kind of let it captivate you and get into it. Because sometimes somebody will give you a book and they'll say, this book will change your life. And they're so excited about it. And you're like, yeah, great. Okay. And then you set it down somewhere and you don't really read it. You don't get into it. And that book is sitting there waiting for you. You know, God sent that book to you through that
yeah.
person, you know, and you're like, okay,
And so many
well,
books now are on audiobook or they're on ebooks or whatever. So there's so many
multiple
ways to
ways.
receive the information. You know,
Right. It doesn't do any good if you don't
a lot
get
of times you can even go to YouTube and find teachers who are teaching the principles of the book in a video, you know, if that's how you best receive information. So
Yeah.
that's wise advice. Oh man. Okay. Thank you, Joyce. I've cried and I've celebrated with you. And I so appreciate that you have just been willing to be transparent and talk about what it looked like to go through that with Brian Michael. And I am so excited that you get to see him again.
I am too.
And I do too. I get to maybe I will be able to chase him around with Jesus.
You'll be the one
I can
swinging
climb
from a tree
trees.
like
I
a
love to climb trees as a kid, so
monkey.
I'm down for climbing the tree in heaven.
Yeah.
Joyce, will you pray over our listeners?
Absolutely.
before we get off today. Will you just bless them?
Yes. Oh. Father God, we just love you so much. Lord, I just ask you to take the words that we have spoken from you and just deliver them to the hearts and minds and souls of the parents out there that are just struggling to find the answers. And Lord, I just speak peace over their lives. I speak calmness. I speak not chaos or confusion, but absolute confidence in you, Lord. And Lord, I just pray for them to open their eyes and to see past what they're going through, and to see and to seek your word as it applies to their situations. And Lord, I also pray that you would send people across their paths that would help reinforce the things that you need them to know. Sometimes it's hard that we feel like we are doing it all by ourselves and we don't know where to go. We don't know where to start. So Lord, I just thank you right now in advance for those that you will send out into the fields to find these people, that you hear their cries, that you see them, and that you know that they're seeking answers and they're trying to find their way. And so, Lord, you are sovereign indeed, and you already have this mapped out. But we just want to thank you in my life and in so many other people's lives also, God, but that you, all the work that is still coming and all the healings that are still to come. And Lord, I just ask you to just give them peace in this journey. That's the big thing. And confidence in you and in your ability to do whatever needs to be done, and that you would give us the grace to accept it, whatever your decisions are, but that we would still declare your word, your freedom, your healing over our families, over our children. In Jesus' mighty, mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Joyce, it has been a true honor. And I know that you have blessed many by your story. And can you just tell us if somebody wants to get in touch with you, what is the
Yeah.
best way to do that?
You can text me. Well, as long as my no, not do that. Okay. Just
Do you
email
have an
me.
email?
Yeah, you can email me at skyisblue64@gmail.com.
Sky
So
is blue,
not the sky,
64.
just skyisblue64@gmail.com.
That's beautiful. That's great. Thank you for sharing that. Well, this has been another episode of Battle Plan for Broken Families. And I am looking forward to the next time and another guest and another way and many other ways that God has been able to reveal his love and his mercy and his compassion for his people as we get through the difficult times of life. If you would like to reach out to me, you can find me at charlie@active-faith.org. Be blessed.